and then the repetitive part of it, right, and the imprints get deeper and deeper, and then we know that that's a failure to launch too.
Right. And that was one, yeah, of the things you always hammered home with me is like, what are you going to learn from this?
Right.
What do you want to learn from this? What do you want to do with this? Like, there's no point in pain without something good at the end of it.
That's right.
And like, I'll be damned if I live a miserable life. So
yeah,
I'd rather do the work now and prioritize my life now. So when I'm 50, I'm not looking back being like, why the hell did I do that? Or
right,
didn't I do that?
Right.
She's truly a breath of fresh air. Tracy ignites dreams. And when you walk away from a meeting with Tracy Martin, you walk away with what I call a ripple effect.
And the type of energy that was radiating from her was like a ripple effect. I never met someone like her before, and I knew that her intentions were pure, and she spoke nothing but the truth.
I couldn't imagine, honestly, anybody else who I've ever met in my life being as helpful as Tracy's been towards me and the rest of my family.
Whatever problem you've got, however dark it may be, there is no judgment, there is no finger pointing, there is only healing.
Check in with Tracy. Do the work. You got this.
Welcome to the TLM Method Podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Martin. This podcast exists to amplify the voices of Gen Z and those that are creating change in the world. To call parents to action in raising healthy, whole young adults and to counteract the current cultural narrative that is giving you permission and at times encouraging you to live an immoral and mediocre life. I'm not calling you out. I'm calling you to action in your own life. A few years ago, a friend of mine said to me, "Hey T, you're the stone that's thrown in the water, and the clients that you work with and the people that hear you speak are the ripple effect that go out and create change in the world." That's what I'm doing. I'm calling you to action and calling you to create your own ripple effect of change.
Welcome back to the TLM Method Podcast. I'm your host again. It's me, Tracy. And this time I have a guest in studio. It's not just me talking to you guys. I'm so excited about this. This is Anna Rose. And she's been a client of mine for a couple years.
Like 2 years, yeah, and a half maybe.
So we're gonna go all kinds of different topics. And we just kind of briefed on what we can and can't talk about, which is always good when you got two girls in the room. So we're going to go over a little bit of college stuff, a little bit of goodness, experiences, high school, family, college, navigating life, adversity, you name it, everything, mm-hmm, and where she's at right now. So I am going to give the mic to you.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about where you are now and kind of a little bit about your background. Nothing, you know, whatever you feel like sharing.
Yeah, so my family is all from New Jersey. So I got that really unique experience of being raised by an East Coast family on the West Coast and
That's
growing
funny.
Up trying to, like, assimilate into that. And meeting people in a way that was really different than my family. And so I have, I mean, you could take the girl out of Jersey, but you can't take Jersey out of the girl, and I still say that. But
it's
up,
true.
Right.
Yeah.
I grew up in Anthem, Arizona. My parents still live there and went to Boulder Creek High School and then ended up going down to University of Arizona for 4.5 years, where I graduated with my bachelor's in marketing and business management and then did an accelerated master's program. So I just graduated again in December with my master's of science in marketing. And now I'm working in Scottsdale with Dave Pratt at his marketing agency and doing really well.
Good.
Yeah, it's
so
good.
So tell me, what's an accelerated master's? What does that mean?
So I got to start my master's program while I was still in undergrad. So for my last semester of my senior year, I was taking graduate-level courses, and they would count towards undergrad and graduate degree.
Okay.
So 4 master's courses with the clubs and sorority and all that stuff. Graduated in May with undergrad, and then did an internship over summer, and then went back in the fall to do 4 more classes for the master's program, and then graduated in December with my master's degree. So
okay,
it was only one extra semester because one of them overlapped.
What is it typically? Like, if somebody didn't do that?
There are a couple different tracks. So you could do like a year or 18 months or 2 years, depending on how much time you want to spend in like classes.
Right.
And what degree you're pursuing. So like an MBA is going to be 2 years pretty much no matter what, minimum. But a master's of science is typically less because you're more focused on the area that you want to be in. So for me, I only had to take classes in marketing, and
okay,
I took one consulting class. But if you're an MBA student, you would do finance, accounting, economics,
everything,
marketing, like everything. And I had just finished all of that, so I didn't necessarily see the benefit of it. But I knew that if I had my master's at only one extra semester, it would just kind of like push me forward a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, so it was worth it. It was worth it for you. So when you started college, so when you graduated Boulder Creek, what was the year?
2018.
Okay. So then you were in college during all the COVID craziness.
Yeah.
So use that term lightly. So tell me, like, what was, here's the crazy thing. I had a text message this morning from a mom that wants her daughter to come to one of the R events, right? Mm-hmm. And she said she's high performer, she's a great athlete, she's all these things, but she went to school during COVID and literally has her mental health, all these things were kind of taken out. So what did you see on campus during that time? And I know you guys were online, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So when I came home and everything went online, it was like I had to relearn how to learn again, which you kind of have to do when you go from high school to college anyways,
right?
Because high school was great in the way that everything was laid out for you. You didn't have to think for yourself. You were on such a strict schedule.
Yeah.
All of your teachers pretty much taught the same way, and all of your friends were doing the same stuff. And then you go to college, and you're like, I have no idea how to study. I don't know how to write an essay for this specific class. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. And then on top of that, the world shuts down, and you have to relearn again how to do the same thing, but online. And how am I going to get, I don't want to say my money's worth, but like my money's worth for my degree.
Yeah.
When I'm sitting in my bedroom, half asleep at 8 o'clock in the morning, trying to listen to my econ professor talk about things I don't care about, but like I need to know.
Yeah.
So that was all just crazy. It was
well,
really,
and they,
really
and
difficult.
The thing I thought was interesting was it's like they didn't give you a discount for being in. I had a lot of
you
parents.
For online courses, actually.
Yeah.
So that was special. But
yeah. I had clients, my parents going, are they going to give us? I go, yeah, no, this is straight on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was it for you? I mean, how did you, because I know what it was like for even like teachers, and that they had to all of a sudden pivot, mm-hmm. and a lot of them didn't get support, you know, to be able to do that.
Yeah. And it was interesting to see how different professors did things differently, because you have some professors that are probably like 80 years old and they don't even use their
technology.
Email.
Yeah.
Like you have to go in, see them, sit down and talk to them. You're never going to hear back from them if you email them, let alone try to text them. And then you have younger professors that are like, okay, we got this. It's fine. So everyone's trying to
I hadn't thought about that. That's an interesting, just the age gap.
Yeah. And some people were really pissed about it. Some people were like, this is great. I love it, whatever it is. But when we actually went back to campus, I lived in my sorority house. And it was interesting because it was locked down. And everyone was like, you have to be safe. You have to protect yourself. You have to protect others. But I'm grateful that I lived there, even though I had to, like, wear a mask if I went into the kitchen, because I was around people, and I still socialized with other people. And you could really tell the difference between the students who didn't socialize with people, and specifically in your classes, because I preceptored for a class where you had to present a ton and interview and do all these different things. And you could see a really big difference from the students who had their first semester doing this in person to the students who were virtual during it, mm-hmm. because they don't know how to talk to people. They don't know how to make eye contact. They don't know how to stand up and present their findings to something or interview or have a conversation and just speak. And it was crazy seeing that. And I started doing some research on the differences between Generation Z and Generation Alpha. I have like a piece of hair in my eye and I can't get it out. Generation Z and Generation Alpha.
Yeah, the one coming up.
Right.
Yeah.
And so Gen Z struggled.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's formative years for a lot of us.
Yes.
But then you think about like Generation Alpha.
Yeah.
And they're babies during this.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to know how to like be mm-hmm. members of society.
No, I see it now. I see it. I see it so much in even younger. Because Gen Z is 1997 to 2012 or 2015.
2012, I think.
Okay, and then Alpha is after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of these, it's even cognitive functioning.
Yeah.
It's even, I've had clients that we had to work on even just going to a place publicly without a mask on. Mm-hmm. I mean, because they hide behind this. It becomes part of their identity.
Yeah.
And I see it a lot.
And I'm a part of the group where it's like, I'll wear a mask if I don't feel well. I don't think I'll ever be able to sit on an airplane without a mask ever again because people are gross and I would rather just not. I'd rather have a barrier there than not.
Yeah.
But I think we're at a place now where it's like if you are doing it for yourself, you're educating yourself, and you can speak to your opinions and you're not berating another person because of what they're mm-hmm. doing, I really don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of where the university went also.
Okay.
Where they went from masks are required in classrooms because you didn't know where people were going. People were still going out to parties and bars
every
and
night,
stuff like that.
Sharing vapes, sharing drinks. Right. That was my favorite story I heard.
Right. It was it was really interesting to see.
Yeah.
And like your mind shifts of like, you don't think about these things ever.
No.
Where a friend gets a drink and you're like, oh, can I try it? And then you have a sip of it. But then afterwards you're like, I don't know if I should drink out of the same glass as you, or I don't want to share that. Or
yeah.
we'll elbow, like not shake hands. And like everything's changing and you think about things differently.
Yeah.
But then they went to masks are recommended. And there are still some students that wear masks.
Yeah,
in
I've seen some down
things
there.
Like that,
yeah.
And that's fine. But some of them have immunocompromised families that they live with.
Or, there's reasons for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Or they, like one of my friends is a professional opera singer and she's so talented and her career is her voice. So
yeah.
she's going to wear a mask to protect
yeah.
herself because if she gets COVID and gets sick and something happens with her voice, she doesn't get to do what she loves
anymore. I like what you said. You said if you educate yourself, if you know why you're doing it, if
mm-hmm.
you understand and if you have the choice and like when college. So how far were you guys in there when it actually gave you a choice and changed from recommended to required?
I think we were in, I want to say like maybe February or March of 2022.
Okay.
So we were online for most of the return. We went back to classes in fall semester of 21, and then spring semester of 22 was when they said, you can wear them if you want to. We
okay.
recommend them, but you don't have to.
What was it like on campus during that time, people in general?
It didn't really feel that different to me, but maybe I'm just saying that because I lived in a sorority house
yeah,
where
true.
All of us were.
Yeah.
And all of us were really safe about everything. We were the only house that didn't get shut down. So
yeah.
we could still go about our lives how we pleased. And I was really lucky to live with the people I did that were kind, compassionate, good human beings, and we shared
yeah.
a lot of the same values. So, like,
makes a difference.
Yeah, we would take the time to sit down and we would eat together. We would do homework together. When one person was in a Zoom class, we would make sure that the other person had the respect of, like, our voices and our time and whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, we were really careful about that. I'm not sure everybody was.
Right.
But I think it just depended on the people you were around.
Yeah.
Your experience with it.
No, I agree. So as far as like your like I mean like in your sorority house, but as far as like on campus, what do you think shifted most with people? Was it socially?
I think anxiety just went through the roof.
Okay.
I think everyone was really, really anxious. And when you're at a university, you kind of have your own universe there.
Yeah.
Like you're in a bubble.
Yeah.
It's not a bubble like it's shielding you from real life things. I mean, you said it to me. I say it all the time now. Like when people say, welcome to the real world, you're like, what the hell was I in before?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that felt pretty real.
That felt real to me.
So like you're having real life experiences, but you're kind of secluded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everyone was really used to having everything at their disposal all the time.
Yeah.
All of your friends were there. All of your classes were there.
Your lifestyle.
Everything. Like, and then we were all without it for a long time.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, can we go back to this? Is it going to be the same? Is it going to be different? Do I want this lifestyle anymore? Do I not want this lifestyle? Some people came back and they were like, I'm done. Like, I want to head down, power through, get through college, do what I need to do. And some people were like, I'm back. Let's go party.
Yeah.
Like, everyone went crazy. And so you just chose your path then.
Yeah.
It really split, but everyone was just happy to be back with
yeah.
everyone for the most part.
I think so. What I see is what you said with the alpha when you were doing research on it. What was the biggest thing that you found that stood out to you between the generations and how old they were versus how old you guys were?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you see kids are so anxious in public now.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're stuck at home from, I mean, between 2 to 7, I'd say, and you don't go to preschool and you don't interact with people
yeah.
and you don't learn the societal behaviors that normal kids do at that
age. Well, and parents can't be teachers. I mean, they have to be parents.
Right. They also can't recreate playing
Mm-mm.
with other kids.
No.
And that's where young kids learn a lot. And it's also the first generation born fully in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
So they all are online. They all have access to everything. Like, I grew up with that, and I see the difference in my generation. I literally
yeah.
just talked to one of my friends about this earlier today, about, like, our generation's already more anxious because we see everything that's going on in the world all the time.
Right, right.
And it all feels like, it feels like the world is burning and crashing down all the time. These things were happening before.
You just didn't know it.
But you just didn't know.
Well, my generation, we didn't hear what was going on in all these different countries. And mm-hmm. then is what you're hearing accurate? Is what you're hearing
right.
important? Is what it's all these other things. And we didn't have that. I mean, we had we had the news, we had all those kinds of things. But as far as technology, mm-hmm. We didn't have that. And so I think because people always say, I wonder what it was like to get up in the morning and be gone all day on your bikes and chill out and then just come home.
Right.
And I go, that's true freedom.
Right.
I go, which I wish I could give that to everybody today because
right.
it's a whole different
way. I have separation
anxiety
from my phone.
Yeah.
I know it. I don't want to be without it. I'd freak out if I left it somewhere. And I feel an attachment to it. But I mm-hmm. think we've also talked about how Gen Z was born into 9/11 and
right.
the stock
financial
crash
and yeah,
everything.
A lot. Yeah.
And so that has created this sense of urgency and anxiety in mm-hmm. us.
And lack of security.
Right. And now these kids are born into COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a whole new world of yep. idiosyncrasies that, I have no idea what they're going to be. I know my idiosyncrasies when I'm, 80 years old. I'm going to stockpile toilet paper and canned goods because you never know if it's going to happen.
You never know, yeah.
But, this generation just, it's going to be interesting.
It is.
For lack of a better word,
see
what happens.
It's interesting because then you've got the parents who, what the heck do I do? How do I help? What, or you have the ones that are you just, like you said, the other group powered through it, you mm-hmm. know, we're just done. And it depends on the home that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the view of the world that your parents have when you're that age.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, if you have someone, depending upon what their belief system is, you inherit that.
Right.
But if you don't have the skills and history that they have to navigate it,
mm-hmm.
it changes the outcome for these kids.
Yeah. And it's also interesting when you're when I was 20 years old, so starting because
okay.
I was in college and growing up, starting to grow up and separate from the beliefs that you carry from your family growing
your
up.
Your inherited
beliefs.
You start
beliefs. To form things for yourself. And my view of the pandemic was not the same as everyone else I was around.
Right.
And so it was really difficult to try to ask myself, do I really feel this way or am I rebelling against my family? Or
yeah.
do I really feel this way or am I only saying this because this is what my family feels? And
right.
kind of going through that and navigating growing up, forming your own opinions, your own beliefs, gathering your own information, and then also being respectful of other people and
right.
not saying to someone, you're dumb.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Like,
because everybody wakes up to it and deals with it and navigates it in their own time. And I think that's where we've lost that just the I can't even think of a word that I don't want to put in here that's not diluted, but you lose that to sit here and have a conversation
mm-hmm.
and to go, okay, I'm cool with your view, you're cool
right.
with my view.
We don't
view.
Agree on everything.
No.
And I think that's a good thing
because
we can talk and I learn a lot about you when you tell me your views on something
mm-hmm.
and you learn a lot about me when
1,000%
I tell you mine. And there are a lot more things about you that I admire and respect than things I disagree with you on. And I'm not going to let the things I don't agree with you on
change
my view of you
yeah.
or change our relationship because I value you so much more than the one thing that we're not aligned on.
Yeah.
And that's just, I think that's also a big thing that people need to get back to of accepting
right.
others for who they are.
Yeah.
And let people be happy. If they're not hurting you, why does it matter?
Exactly.
So.
Well, and just having the ability to do that,
mm-hmm.
And it's not even the generation gap because we're all living at this moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I really agree with the whole generational thing because it's yeah, but we're all here now.
Right.
Right. So I have a different point of reference. I've just been here longer than you have.
Mm-hmm.
That's really
right.
That's all it is.
Right. You have more perspective on things than
right.
I do and
right.
a different perspective because even if you were 22 years old with me right now, your life is so different from mine
mm-hmm.
leading up to it.
Right.
So who am I to tell you that you're wrong or whatever else it is because our lives are not the same.
Right.
So we're not going to have the same opinions. We're not going to have the same views.
Which is what makes the world go round.
Right.
Which I think is important. I agree with you. I think we've lost that. I think it's a big thing that I saw even in the coaching studio, even with families and kids and just I've seen it more and more that – how do you discern between what you said a minute ago, your inherited beliefs and your beliefs,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you're in environments with all different kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you're working with all different kinds of people.
Right.
So it's like, how did you navigate? I know I was joking with you, the real world. But how did you navigate, when you did your internship last summer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was your first time really out of school working.
Yeah. Well, so I did an internship the summer before that at
okay.
an ad agency in New York.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That was virtual, though.
Okay.
So I was at home working full-time as an intern with Saatchi & Saatchi New York, which was a wonderful experience. I learned so much. I met so many great people. And then last summer, I interned at Align Technology in San Jose.
Okay.
And that was in person.
Right.
And it was the first time I was fully on my own in a new place, didn't know anybody, working full time, like so out of my comfort zone. And I was like, what the hell am I doing? Like, it broke me.
Yeah.
It really broke me, especially from going from being only around the people that you know, the best, you're closest mm-hmm. to them, you've maybe quarantined with them, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then you're just out in the wild on your own.
In the wild.
I was like, where am I? What yeah. am I doing here? Like, it was crazy.
But you had a super, I mean, this is me projecting on you. You had a super successful college, I think.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
100%.
I mean, I think you had a super successful college. I mean, I know there's some things that happened that, you know, that right. were not. But I mean, you had a really good, successful, I think, experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there were really, really great things that happened and there were really, really bad things that happened.
Yeah.
And the way that I'm now trying to choose to look back on it is that my college experience presented me with a lot of opportunities and I was just smart enough to take them.
Right.
And so
I love that.
It propelled me forward so much greater than I could have ever imagined. And I'm not glad that the bad things happened, but I'm okay with it because
yeah.
I like where I am right now. And if that wouldn't have happened, I don't think I would be here right now. Mm-hmm. Who I am sitting here. I would be a different person.
No, and even like some of the work that we've done, I think it comes down to being able to see that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's truly perspective.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, do you want to go through those things? No, the fact that you did and you're out the other side and you actually found a lot out about yourself,
mm-hmm.
about your family, about your experience, your friends.
Right.
So I don't think there's anything, yeah, it's, things are negative, but I don't want to put them in that connotation
right.
to where people start to just fear everything.
And then you give the power to the person who did the bad thing.
Right.
And there are bad people in the world and they want to bring everybody else down with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that true healing from those bad experiences is accepting them and growing through them and then being able to thrive regardless.
Right.
Because I'm not going to give power to the people who have tried
no.
to pull me down with them.
Mm-mm.
They don't deserve it. So.
No, absolutely
yeah.
not. So when you were in California, what was that moment of like, I'm by myself.
So I lived in an Airbnb, which was quite literally a shack on the side of this woman's house. Like, I could lay down and stick my arms and legs out and touch both sides of the room. I had a Murphy bed that pulled out.
I remember that.
It was special. Yeah. I didn't have a full kitchen. I didn't have air conditioning in the middle of Los Gatos in humid summer.
Yep.
I was like,
What am I doing?
Like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I sat there, like, maybe the second night in, and I just cried. And I was like, I am out of my element.
Yeah.
I'm out of my element. And I did not handle that situation as best as I could have. I was pretty...
I remember a couple phone calls.
Right. I was pretty emotional throughout the whole thing. And I think the other part of it is I was not smart about timing with... So I was on antidepressants and... ADD medication, which was really great. But I was like, I had the mindset of I want to use it right now because I know I need it and it'll help me, but I don't want to use it as a crutch for the rest of my life.
Right.
And I was feeling great. I was on a high. I just graduated. I got an internship. I was going to California. I'm like, I'm good.
You're flying.
Stop taking them. And then I got there and I was like, why did I do this? Like, it was so bad. Everything came crashing down. It was not good. And then the whole time I was there, it was just really hard for me to rebound.
Yeah.
And I think...
How long were you there?
I was in person for 6 weeks.
Okay.
And then virtual for the next 6 weeks.
Okay.
And even when I came back for virtual, I was not the same person.
Yeah.
I was an emotional wreck. And my family could attest to it. I was a menace in that house. Like, it was not good. So I think the takeaway from that was, like, I need to be centered enough in myself to
mm-hmm.
go to different environments and different places
yeah.
and confident enough in myself to, like, build new relationships, figure things out.
Adapt.
I was scared to go out alone.
Yeah.
In person, like, in the town, like, by myself.
Yeah.
Like, I'd never really done that before.
Right.
One, I thought everybody was looking at me being like, why is this girl alone? When nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
And two, I was just scared.
Yeah.
Like, I was really scared. And I'd never been able to, like, work through that before.
Yeah.
And I didn't work through it well, so.
But when you came back, I mean, what did you find out about yourself?
Well, I learned that when I'm healthy and consistent with things that I know I need to do, I'm fine. But it's the being consistent about it
yeah.
that's really hard for me. And that comes down to like self-discipline, yeah. which is a struggle every day for me. But I also learned that like, it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's fine. And we just talked about this right before you started recording too, that like, it's not fun when things are hard, except
right.
for you because you're weird with things like that.
I like hard things.
I need to be able to have the perspective to recognize that like, yeah. it's hard right now, but it's okay because it'll be fine again mm-hmm. eventually. Like, there are ups and downs in life and everything that you do, and nothing's going to stay like that forever. Mm-hmm. So I just need to be able to talk to myself and not listen to myself all the time.
Yeah.
Because you have that voice in your head that's like, this is going to be bad forever.
This is going to suck.
We're going to get better.
Yeah.
You're going to be miserable
my life is
forever.
Horrible.
Like, my life sucks. And then you sit back and you're like, okay, wait, I'm at a really good job. I am meeting really interesting people. I'm in a beautiful place. I'm on my own for the first time. I get to learn a lot about myself. And then it's like, okay, this is going to be fine.
Just chill out, Anna Rose.
It's easy. I wish. Easier said than done.
No, but I think that when we talked about perspective, I think that's the biggest thing that mm-hmm. a lot of depending upon your age, what you've gone through, what your family's like, whatever it is, I think when you can understand a level of perspective and discernment is the way that I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
To where, I mean, my dad told me years ago when I was a little kid, he's like, just remember this too shall pass.
Yeah. And my dad says it all the time.
Yeah, and I love that because it's like, okay, I'm in it. And I'm going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be in the shit for a while.
Right.
But I'm like, oh, I can see the outside. Or maybe I'll get there, you know. And just building that character, the adversity, your mental toughness, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the takeaways.
Right.
Right? It's like if everything was easy and you got everything you wanted.
Mm-hmm. We also
nothing.
Have to ask yourself, what's the ideal state of this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And what can I do to get there?
Right.
So I think habit, I'll say for me and I think for a lot of people, is like, okay, this is the ideal state. They need to do this, they need to do that, they need to change this. But you can't control what other people are doing or
no.
your environment. The only thing you can control is yourself. So once you, I think you said that to me too, of like, what's your ideal state? And
right.
like, what do you need to do?
What's your end game? Where are
right.
you going?
What do you need to do to get there? Like,
right.
work backwards. And that was really hard for me to do. But now
yeah.
it's something that I do often of like, okay, at the end of this year, where do I want to be? At the end of, well, same thing with college. Like, when I finish college, where do I want to be? A year out of that, where do I want to be? 5 years out? 10 years out, and then
right.
work backwards of what do you need
well, that
to
goes
to get
that
there.
Declaration exercise that we did,
mm-hmm.
to where you declare things over your life, and you can look at it in a small increment of time or a larger
right.
increment of time, and then you have to audit
mm-hmm.
and go, okay, wait a minute. If I'm the person that says that, and
right.
that's what I want, what do I have to do to actually – and what stays that I possess that's awesome?
Right.
And what sucks right now that I need to go,
right.
yeah, that's not going to get me there.
Right. And I go back and watch those videos often where I'm like, okay, I need to remind myself – what I need to do, because it's
yeah.
not the first time I've been in this situation.
Right.
It's the first time maybe this environment has brought it to me.
Right.
But
it looks different.
Right. But you've learned it before.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to you about it before. Like, I have the resources, so use them.
Right.
Because therapy is great. Life coach is great. But if you're not going to do the work outside of your hour together, then you're wasting your time.
1,000%.
So
that's why I do those videos. Because
mm-hmm.
because when you go back and you look at that, in the moment in time that we actually did the work versus a year or two, your perspective changes on who that is,
mm-hmm.
but the basics of it, you can still apply.
Right.
You know, and I think if you – so what do you wish you knew about college going before you went to college?
Yeah, I think it's more so about me than it is about the college experience itself. But I used to come home every single day and cry to my dad and be like, I'm – never going to make friends like you have. I'm never going to have memories like this. Like, it's, why is it so difficult? And then I got to college and I met the people that I want in my life for the rest of my life. Like,
mm-hmm.
my children will call them their aunts and uncles. They'll
That's
be at
awesome.
My wedding. Like, they're people that will be there forever. I have some of the best memories from college. And then I talked to my dad about this today. He's like, I told you. And I was like, yeah, but I didn't know it. Like,
patience.
Right. And
yeah.
so I wish that I would have known that it wasn't just to go learn something.
Yeah.
Like,
it wasn't
really,
just academic.
Right. You develop as a person
mm-hmm.
and you grow as a person if you decide to take the opportunity to do that,
right.
of course. But,
like, right.
it was more than I ever could have imagined. Like, it really did catapult me forward.
Yeah.
And it's hard to go back home afterwards
mm-hmm.
and be like, I was such a different person back then.
Yeah.
Which, of course, because you're a teenager and then you grow up and you get all these
yeah.
new experiences and you grow and everyone does that. But to now have perspective and be able to, like...
But not everyone's college is successful like that. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the hardest part, too, is that, and even though you have, I call it a launching pad with a lot of people, it's like, mm-hmm. but not everybody takes that. But what you said, I was smart enough to take the opportunity.
Right. And one of the biggest things for me was I realized the opportunities that I had when they presented them to me. And if I didn't, I had somebody else to show it.
Good.
So, like,
good.
I call them my board of directors. So, like, my dad's on my board of directors. You are. My therapist down there is Kathleen. She's been absolutely amazing for
awesome.
Me. This woman, Kamal, who works at Align, I did my internship with her. Whenever I'm like, I don't know what to do, I say, okay, here's my board of directors. I admire the way these people have lived their life, or this person's relationships, or this person's thought process, or this person's career. Where do I go
mm-hmm.
to get help?
Yeah.
Because I think one of the hardest things is admitting that you need help and then you don't know what you're doing. But my favorite thing to say is, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's humble. That's having humility, which a lot of people don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if you can Google something and go, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, I knew that. I knew that all along. I'm like, yeah, no,
yeah,
you didn't.
Right.
I mean, but the board of directors part is the work we do in here, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's like if you want specific different voices in your life, and they're not always your parents, right?
Right.
There are people that you admire or have lived a life that you want to see yourself living, mm-hmm. or experiences that they've had that you're interested in. And then you have to really have a good relationship, though, to where that you actually have trust.
Right. Right.
That's a big one.
Yeah,
that's 100%. A big one.
And also, like, learning to trust myself and my gut. And so if I call my dad and I'm like, Dad, I don't know what to do. He goes, well, here's what I would do. And then I listen and I could be like, I don't want to do that. So just because somebody gives you advice and mm-hmm. tells you that this is something they would do, you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
And that was hard for me, too, because also growing up, your parents tell you to do something, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
until you're like 12. 13.
Yeah. Unless you're also terrified of your parents. I've got that Catholic Italian guilt in me. Like, I listen to my parents. But I was like maybe 17, 18 where I started to question it. And then you trust your gut and
yeah.
you go with it. But
well, you're starting to gain your own confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that – and the other thing, too, is that sometimes we as parents, we have a different view because of our experiences that we're going to try to talk you out of yours.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and I have to watch myself all the time, you know, with my kids,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you've talked about it. Your kids.
Totally.
Go, I want mom, not coach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, well – and in some situations, the voice would be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I got to check it,
mm-hmm.
right? To where I'm like, wait a minute. Am I telling them this because I want this for them? Or am I telling them this because it's what's best for them and
right.
I just got to zip it,
right.
you know, which is hard to do for a lot of parents.
Yeah, I can't shut my mouth. I'm not a parent, but I still can't shut my mouth.
But I think it's, but I don't think it's a bad thing if the intention is good.
Right.
I think the way that you have the interpersonal communication is what matters. It's like your dad. It's like, this is what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you shared your experience and your point of reference and your
right.
point of view. Now I trust you enough to go, okay, I'm going to take that into consideration,
mm-hmm.
but it's not going to be maybe my end-all, be-all.
Right.
And
so,
I think it's important.
Right. And the first, like, big opportunity I think I got presented when I was at school was the end of my freshman year. I didn't join any clubs. I joined a sorority because my first priority was making friends because I needed to know what friendship felt like.
Yeah.
And, like, know what it felt like to have a group of women that supported you. And I was really lucky to choose the sorority that I did because I've met so many amazing women through it.
Yeah, there's a lot that it's – I hear so many stories that it's mm-hmm. just not what it's cracked up to be for some people
right.
and some situations. I love that your takeaway is good.
Right. Well, it depends on your intention going into
mm-hmm.
it. If
yeah.
your intention is to have a social status, then you're not going to get everything you want out of it. But if
right.
your intention is to build relationships, then you'll get – even more than you wanted.
What
out
you put
of it.
Into it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so my intention was to build relationships. And then moving forward, for all 4 years of my undergrad experience, that was my goal throughout the whole thing. I want meaningful relationships. I want to meet people that I can trust and admire and that motivate me.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of that year, one of my academic advisors presented me with an opportunity to be a founding member of a new program for freshmen who were like me that maybe didn't get involved as quickly as they should have or
right.
that the college would have hoped them to be because
yeah.
everyone can make their own path and be on their own timeline.
Yeah.
But I didn't join any clubs because I was in high school and everyone made fun of you if you were in clubs. But
the chess club.
Right. But if you're in college, it's really important
yeah.
because you get to learn what you like, what you don't like. You meet a lot of people, like all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So,
well, especially down in Tucson, there's not much else to do.
Yeah. Okay. Don't give Tucson a bad rap.
I'm teasing.
I love it there. But yeah, you have to choose your time wisely. You want to make sure that you're doing the right things for yourself. And so we started a program called Eller Impact that gave freshmen the tools to transition from high school to college.
Yeah, when you took me through, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and it's grown so much. Like the first
year. It's like your baby, though.
It really is like my baby. I just talked to somebody about it today. Like, I don't know why everything we're talking about I've talked to somebody about earlier today, but I was on FaceTime with a friend, and he was an Eller, and people were walking by, and they were like, oh, I have to tell you something about Impact. And that's the coolest thing ever, because the goal was to plant the seed so others can water it and grow it. Mm-hmm. And that's, you watch it grow.
Yeah.
And the first year was really hard. Like, we had maybe 3 people stay the whole year and people were in and out. And I was like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
But now there's like over 30 students that are in it for a full year. And that's the craziest thing ever. It's so
cool. Awesome.
Because I got to pass it down also to the people that I trusted. And now my sister's best friend is president of it.
That's cool.
And so I've known her for 10 years and now she's getting to continue on the thing that I started. And that's,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, so that's super cool.
Yeah, it's really awesome to be able to see that. And then moving forward throughout Eller, it was like, okay, I've created those relationships. I preceptored for a business communications class because I loved it so much and I wanted to help other people be more confident in themselves when they're speaking, presenting, interviewing,
right,
all those
right.
things. So I did that and that was great. And then I joined the Dean's Council, which is like a fancy way of saying student government. But we're all leaders within the college. We worked really closely with the Associate Dean of Undergraduate Students. She was amazing. And we got to do really cool things like host the Career Fair and Eller Expo and do things to really help people,
yeah,
like propel.
Yeah.
And in those positions, you get to see the people who really want to do that and the people who don't.
Kind of want to.
Yeah.
They just really don't.
We know we should do it. But
yeah.
I don't want to put in the work to
That's
do it.
That's my favorite thing.
Right?
Do you want it or you kind of want it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've asked me that a couple of times. I don't like when you ask me knowledgeable questions. It doesn't feel good.
Because then you got to go, ooh, I want it, but the way I'm making the decisions, I just kind of want it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really cool to get to do all of that. And through it, you meet academic advisors, career coaches, professors, other students, alumni, like all these really awesome people. And then they recommended me for the accelerated master's program. And when I applied to it, because of the recommendations I had, I got in. And then
That's good.
You make really great relationships with people who are like me that are also young in a master's program or in their 30s in a master's program. And you get to learn so much in a controlled environment still.
Yeah.
From people who have other life experiences, who have had jobs before you, who have had jobs, hated them, came back to school because they didn't want to do it anymore. And then you meet professors who have worked in your field and now they're coming back to teach and give back. And that's all I ever wanted to do. So to be able to keep that consistently throughout my college experience, I think is why it was so great.
It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pulled away the academic part of it and you looked at the lifestyle part of it,
because
mm-hmm. that's one of the big questions. I have a lot of kids now going from high school to college, right? Making this decision. What
right.
do I do? How do I do this? Do I go to vocational school? Do I take a gap year? Do I, whatever. And so I always ask them, are you making this decision based upon lifestyle or academic?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you pulled the academic out, which you, like I said, were uber successful. I mean, I didn't say this earlier, but even homecoming queen.
Yeah, that was
come
crazy.
On, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And you just looked at just lifestyle.
Right.
What's your view on that now?
I'm grateful for every experience that I had in it. And there were times where I was like, U of A is a party school. I think we
yeah.
all know it.
And we do.
I'm not going to lie, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, I really did
Don't
have
lie.
Some of the most fun in my entire life. I've met the funniest people. I've met the most fun people ever. Like, I went to the parties. I did the frat parties, the themes, the costumes, the everything, and it was a great time. And I'm really glad that I got to do that because, I mean, some people do it in high school. I'm not a huge advocate
yeah.
for that.
No.
But I'm glad that I did it in that time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now I got it out. And I'm like,
yeah.
okay, I did it when I was a freshman and a sophomore. Now I'm like, yeah, we could go out for a drink, or we could just go get coffee, or we could go get lunch. I have
yeah.
zero desire to go party anymore.
Yeah.
Which I'm grateful because I got it out, but then it's difficult.
But you also waited. I think you also, like you said, the kids that are doing it like sophomore, junior, senior,
mm-hmm.
high school.
Right.
And then they drag that into college.
Right.
I think that's where they're the ones that can't get out of bed, can't do their classes,
mm-hmm.
can't do those kinds of things.
Right. And like, I went to parties when I was in high school. I wanted to go have fun. I wanted to make friends. But I was by no means like going out every weekend,
right.
drinking a ton, doing drugs, like any of that. Like, and then you see the people who want the party experience, but they also value their time there
Education,
as a student.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you see the people who are like, I'm going to go to this school because it's a party school, and I'm going to rush for
your
this
intention,
frat,
right?
And I'm going to go, I'm going to do these parties, I'm going to go to this rave, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And, like, by all means, go ahead. But, like, I have no interest.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I was really burnt out of it by the time I was a sophomore. And then COVID hit, so I was like, well, I don't care anymore anyways. So
That's true. You guys, so right. You were a sophomore when COVID hit.
Yeah.
Okay, I was thinking you were a freshman. You were a sophomore.
I was a sophomore.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was in my second semester of sophomore year. I was living in an apartment with three of my best friends. And then all of us were like, nice knowing you. Great. Yeah. But so when COVID hit, all of us were just kind of like, well, we got it out of our system. Let's just get this over with now.
Focus a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there were the other people, like I said before, that came back and they were like, I'm going to go balls to the wall.
Twice as much now.
Yeah. And it was fun to watch.
Yeah.
And like, they're.
It's like watching a train wreck.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, some of my friends do that.
Yeah.
I love them no less.
Of course.
Maybe I love them a little bit more because they're a lot more fun. But like, it's just, you have to balance your time. And
balance is the key. And,
right.
and I always say I hate the word balance because I believe it's a myth because mm-hmm. that means my mind goes to, okay, I have a scale.
Right.
And it's even.
And you have two things.
Exactly.
But there's a lot.
There's so much more. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more, the word I like to use is integration. It's like, okay, I want to enjoy social. I want to go work out. I want to stay fit. I want to stay healthy. I want to get really good grades. I want to take this seriously. And that takes a really evolved psyche, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think emotionally health, and that's why I think what we're seeing now are the kids that were in like middle school or high school,
mm-hmm.
probably high school, that are now in their sophomore year of college,
mm-hmm.
and it's a completely different dynamic.
Right.
So when you graduated last year, the kids that were coming in freshman, sophomore, they would have been junior, senior, COVID, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, because my sister's a junior, and it was her senior year of high school that COVID hit.
Okay. And did you have any experience with that? Like people, like, because it was funny, because I talked to one of my clients who goes to Xavier, and she said when she did, like, the touring of, like, the incoming students,
mm-hmm.
the freshman students that were incoming, in, she's like, I don't know how they're going to make it.
Yeah, they just don't speak.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It was like, I mean... having experience of like running a freshman club, freshmen are already nervous and it's hard to get them to interact.
To show up, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not normal to them. Because when you're in high school, you go to your practice and then you go home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You don't really do clubs or anything
like
that.
Right.
So it's like, why do I care about a club now? And then it's hard to do that. And then when you have the COVID like generation that comes in, it's like, do you have a voice? Like,
yeah.
I know that's harsh, but it's like...
No, it's true.
They don't know how to speak. And mm-mm. it's not their fault.
No.
And so I don't fault anybody for it. But it's going to be a... I don't want to say a rude awakening, but it's going to be a steeper learning curve for them to assimilate into this kind
yeah.
of culture. Because, I mean, when you're a business student, it's all relationships. It's how you present yourself. It's
yep.
first impressions.
It's interaction.
It's consistency in your relationship and follow through. And if you don't know how to speak to somebody, it's not going to be the same experience.
No, I think about our workforce all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think about like when these kids do, hopefully by the grace of God, they get people in their life that actually can get them to that place.
Mm-hmm.
But if they just stay buried in their phones and
right.
don't necessarily actually interact and realize and have a wake up moment
mm-hmm.
of like, wow, I actually do have to show up.
Right.
I'm always concerned about our workforce.
Right.
Down in the future.
Which is why I'm grateful that I am where I am now.
Yeah.
Because I didn't go the traditional path for after I graduated.
Yeah.
I'm at a smaller agency. It's local. And I didn't go to a big Fortune 500 company.
Was that your like goal? Did you have where you wanted to go? Did you have an idea?
I had a general idea of I wanted to go work at a really big company that was a recognizable brand.
Okay.
And then I started to realize that just because somebody knows the name of the company you work for doesn't mean it's a good job.
Yeah.
So everyone wants to go work at Nike and Netflix and Mattel
the corporate.
And all these ones. And don't get me wrong, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really good experience. It'll be really great for some people. But I think the reason that my transition from college to work has been smoother than I expected is because I was granted an amazing opportunity to go to
mm-hmm.
this place that cares more about me as a person than they do my employee number.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And they're smaller. That's why.
Right. And if you want to go to a big corporation, do it. It's
mm-hmm.
a great experience. Corporate America is a great place to climb up a ladder and get a big job and you get good salary and benefits and things like that. but I wanted to develop myself as a person
right.
and understand how a business functions. So when my friend Sammy introduced me to his dad, and his dad was like, "You want a job?" I was like,
yes. I remember when you said that.
I was like, "Thanks, Dave." And it's been
today, now?
Yeah. I was like, "When?" He goes, "Can you start tomorrow?" I go, "No."
No, let me see.
I was like, "Can you give me a month?" But I've been working with him since September, and I just started full time the beginning of this year. And
yeah.
I had people tell me, "You're making the worst career decision of your life. You're stupid. Like, how do you not see this?" And mm-hmm. it hurt in the moment.
I didn't say that.
No, you said, "If you don't do this, I'm going to kidnap you and take you there, and you're going to take the job."
Exactly.
And I was like, "Yeah, you're right."
Yeah.
And it felt risky because mm-hmm. it wasn't what I was expecting.
Right.
But I wrote the mean things down on a sticky note, and I put them in a drawer, and I'm only, 3 weeks in now, full-time, and I'm like, those people have no idea what they're talking about.
Right.
Because I'm happy. My boss encourages work-life balance. He wants to mentor me and teach
That's
me
key.
And give me the experiences mm-hmm. to let me grow and not just tell me what I need to do somewhere else to do it.
Well, he's not a boss, per se. And,
right.
I think that it's kind of like
me
a boss
every time
mentor.
I call him a boss, I owe him $5. So if we could bleep out
like
boss
me.
Anytime
yeah.
I say it, that'd be
but
great.
But it's true, right? It's like when you have someone like that that's willing to pour into you,
right.
not just an employee. And that's kind of where the difference between like a smaller company versus a bigger mm-hmm. company. It depends on what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you grow as a person more.
Right.
In the smaller environments.
Right.
You know, and I think you get probably more opportunity.
Oh, 100%.
You know, I mean, more hands-on, I mm-hmm. guess, is what it is.
Yeah, like, I think that going through corporate America and growing on that track is a good thing mm-hmm. because you get to learn in a more, like, steady pace, maybe.
Right.
Of here's how you build up from the bottom of this business through, like, checking spreadsheets, sitting in on meetings and listening and whatever else that is. I kind of just got thrown in, and he was like, I'm there with you. We can do this together. I don't want you to feel like you have to fend for yourself, but what I don't want you to do is not get these experiences. So I'm meeting
That's
with
key.
Clients. I'm sitting in on meetings, and I'm contributing to them. I'm following through on things that I need to do for my clients. I work alone on an account with one of our clients, and, like, I would have never been able to do that Mm-mm. anywhere else.
No.
So,
because I think there's more of a food chain mm-hmm. if you're in a hierarchy, if you're walking into a bigger corporation
right.
where somebody looks at you as, oh, you're just out of college.
Right.
And I think that this organization looks at you as your abilities
mm-hmm.
and what you're willing
fit.
To do. Yeah.
It's more a culture fit than it is a skill fit.
Yeah.
Which I think something like this isn't for everybody.
Right.
And corporate America isn't for everybody. Just like there are entrepreneurs and there are not.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, shoot me in corporate America. Yeah,
I don't think you would survive. I think you would literally.
No, they
go,
would die.
You would go mad, and yeah, literally.
I know.
It'd make you murderous.
Yeah.
And I think that I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But now that I look at it, it would have made me the same way.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to building things and creating things and learning through experiences.
Well, you're also a free thinker.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the biggest things that I think that your generation is lacking, the free thinking and the critical thinking. And so when they met you, that's why the job got offered right away, because
yeah.
they're like, oh, wait a minute, you know, because
mm-hmm.
it's not something that you see all the time.
Yeah. It was funny. He said to me, he goes, "Anna Rose, I know you think I hired you on a whim and that I didn't think it through, but I'd been looking for someone for this role for years."
Mm-hmm.
And
you know,
I was like, oh, and you said the same thing to me, too. You're
yeah.
like, he's not hiring you just for shits and gigs. Sorry, I don't know if I could say that.
You
on
can
the
say
podcast,
it however you want
but
to.
Like, I was like, yeah, you're right. And
yeah.
You said, just trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Trust him because he knows a lot more than you do. So go with it. And I'm so grateful that you said that to me because it was the kick in the ass that I needed
yeah.
to just be like, do it.
Yeah.
And
well, it's like if I look for a certain person in my organization or what I do and I meet someone, my viewpoint is looking at them for that opportunity.
Right.
Whereas you were looking for an opportunity
mm-hmm.
and what it was going to be. He already knew the opportunity.
Right.
He was looking for the person.
Right.
So it's a different fit.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
hands down.
And I was just talking to his son earlier, and he was like, "Can you believe you work for my dad?" And I was like, "This is your fault. Like, you introduced me.
You're the one."
I know, but I'm so grateful.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. So tell me, Anna Rose, 5 years, where are we going?
I want to be more confident in my abilities with
because you totally lack it now.
I just don't think I trust myself enough.
I know, no, you
and
don't.
I need to learn. I
yeah.
have so much that I need to learn. So.
Yeah.
Patience is key with myself and with other people. I'd like to still be working with Dave. at this company.
Did you hear that, Dave?
I know. So. You're welcome. And you can thank Tracy, by the way. I'd like to still be working there. I want to grow the business that I'm at. I want to be preparing myself to give back to my university again, because mm-hmm. it did amazing things for me, and I'd like to be that person that does that for others. I mean,
it'd be fun to have like a scholarship in your name.
Oh yeah.
It'd be super cool.
You're going down the thought process. Yeah. I've been going down. Yeah. It'd be really, really cool to yeah. like, give back to like a young woman, or even just maybe a freshman that's a part of the program that
yep.
That group and I got to start. And
that's cool.
No pun intended, but like make an impact
yeah.
through like an Eller Impact scholarship or mm-hmm. things like that, because it's not about what I get out of it. It's about
yeah.
I've learned so much and I've gone through so much. Like, how do I give back and yep. how do I help other people? So I want to be able to help other people. I want to be in a position where I can maybe financially help a student that needs it, and like give other people the experience in college that I think a lot of other people miss out on.
No, you're right. You're right. And that's the reason, that's one of the reasons why I admire your experience, because I see so much of the other ones. And that's, I mean, and I love working with you, is because it's like everybody says, oh, well, your life works. Well, it works because I did.
Right.
You know, I mean, and I think that's the biggest takeaway is right. that you worked.
Yeah. And a lot of people have said, like, because my dad helped me a lot, and I'm
yeah.
so
kudos to Frank.
I know, seriously. Frank's a great guy. I'm so unbelievably grateful
yeah.
for him. What he helped me do is get my foot in the door, and then it's up to me to follow through.
And 1,000%.
That's kind of how it is with everything, where the opportunity presents itself and it's up to you to take it. And there are so many missed opportunities from so many people.
People are stubborn because it's mm-hmm. like, oh my God, my dad opened this door for me. I'm like, just because the door is open
right.
does not mean it's a go.
Right.
You know,
that's
it does not.
To me every single time, he's like, listen, kid, I'll help you.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing this for you. Like,
it's your relationships.
Also say, don't embarrass me.
Yeah, of course. And, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So
you carry the same last name, just saying.
Exactly. He yeah. goes, do you know who I am? But it's really important to just recognize the opportunities, or at least have people that can be your sounding board to help you recognize them.
Yeah.
Because without you, my dad, all the other people in my life, my board of directors,
yeah.
like, I would have missed out on a lot. And I would have suffered through a lot of things and not been able to grow through them.
Yeah. Well, you would have suffered without the lesson. I mean,
right.
I mean, and then the repetitive part of it
right.
and the imprints get deeper and deeper. And then we know that that's a failure to launch too.
Right. And that was one yeah. of the things you always hammered home with me, is like, what are you going to learn from this?
Right.
What do you want to learn from this? What do you want to do with this? Like, there's no point in pain without something good at the end of it.
That's right.
And like, I'll be damned if I live a miserable life. So
yeah,
I'd rather do the work now and prioritize my life now. So when I'm 50, I'm not looking back being like, why the hell did I do that? Or
right.
didn't I do that?
Right.
So.
No, it's true. And I think the choices that you've made, whether you're learning to pivot, or whether you're learning to like, okay, this isn't really what I wanted, but let me give it a little bit of time with the mm-hmm. patience word that you said.
Yeah.
So give me Anna Rose's top three things for college students today.
Okay.
Top three.
I would say be patient with yourself.
Okay.
And it's a new environment. It's a new lifestyle. You're going to have to learn how to do things differently regardless of where you go. And you shouldn't know how to do them yet. Like, you have to go in and learn and
yeah.
just accept that it's not all going to be easy and it's not all going to be fun and games. Prioritize your education, because either you're paying for it or someone else is, and you don't want to waste your time. You don't want to waste your money. And it's not a free ride. And so if you're getting a degree, when you're in a job afterwards, you're expected to know
mm-hmm.
the things that you
should know. You
can't
cheat your way through.
Right. And so, like, I kind of chose the easiest major in business. I was a marketing major. I love it. But, like, when I get to my job, you can't say I have a master's of science in marketing, and then they ask you to do something. You're like, what's that?
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that. So, like, take the time to actually learn and absorb it. And recognize the transferable skills that you're learning as you go through it.
Yeah.
Like, when you're on a team project and you want to kill all of your team members because you're like, why aren't these people doing what I need them to do? Take a step back and recognize that you're in a situation where you're going to learn things that you'll need to know for the rest of your life. My dad always said to me, he goes, this is not the last difficult person you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah.
So
They're there.
Power through.
Yeah.
And I think the third thing is you'll find the right people when you allow yourself to.
Yeah.
And so I think I was upset that I wasn't getting invited to the parties that I wanted to go to, and I wasn't friends with people in the top house or anything like that. And then you realize that it's all a facade and it's all for Instagram pics, and it 1,000%. Really doesn't matter.
Right.
And so you find the people who...
Well, they find you, I think, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll connect with the people who really love you for who you are and value you for your mind and your heart and your experiences. And those are the people that you want to take with you, not the ones that are fun to go out and drink a pitcher of beer with.
Right.
Hopefully you have at least one of those friends that overlaps.
That you can laugh. One.
But like, I think it's important to seek people who are, who have similarities to you, who challenge you, who love you, and show you that. Because up until now, it's really only been my family. And it was really crazy to learn that there are people outside of my family that love me.
Yeah, yeah.
And feel like family. So,
well, they're chosen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it comes.
So when you left high school, and now that you've left college, what's the biggest change that you've noticed in yourself? What's the biggest opportunity of growth that you took?
I'm less angry. Like, I really am. I think I used to be a really angry person at myself, at the world. No one was like helping me enough. Everyone was out to get me. Everything was so hard, and I was so mad all the time. Like, granted, some situations created that.
Yeah.
And like, we've talked about it. Like, no wonder I was so angry all the time.
Yeah.
But I've learned a lot about myself, and I know the situations that will make me upset, angry, sad. I think I'm just an emotional person, but
you're connected.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm not mellow by any means, but I'm a lot more mellow now, believe it or not. I'm calm.
Anna Rose dialed down.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. I think I'm more accepting of myself and
yeah,
learning that like you have to accept other people for as they are, like who they are as they are, not what you want them to be eventually.
No, and I think that's the biggest problem with today is that we want to be right. We want everyone to think the way that we think. We want to see things. And when you meet someone that has, rather than seek to understand, we go the other way.
Right.
You know, and I think it's a huge, huge valuable lesson for most people.
Right. One of the things my therapist down in Tucson actually taught me was when you go into a conversation that's going to be hard, say, I just want to understand. And then you listen. And then at the end of it, you say, do you mind if I share how I feel now? And if they say no, then they say no.
Right.
And you taught me, don't be attached to the outcome of the conversation.
Right.
And so learning that was super, super valuable because so often, even now, I like go into conversations where I'm like, well, I want to say this, so they do that. No, I want to say this because it'll make me feel better to get off my chest, and they're going to react however they want to react.
Right.
And I can't control that. So
no, communication, I think, is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's huge. Well, I am so glad you're here today.
Yeah, thanks.
And oh, of course. And I have to just say that I am beyond proud of you. I absolutely adore you. I love watching and witnessing your growth, the way that you are going to impact, not just, again, no pun intended with Eller, but the way that you impact people. You've impacted my life. I love being a part of your board of directors. And it's fun to watch because when you watch someone that navigates life, and I know it hasn't always been easy, when you watch someone that navigates life that isn't willing to let it take them out, you're actually willing to like push through it, you realize that you will have an uber successful life in whatever you choose to do. It's all up to you.
Yeah.
1,000%.
100%.
I love you.
You take the opportunities that are presented.
You do.
You taught me that.
You do.
Ah. And I love you too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I can't even talk. Take care, guys. Whatever they tell you to do, like, follow, subscribe, whatever, please, please do that.
All of the above.
All of the above. And we will see you next time. Thank you for joining us today on the TLM Method podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed the time that you've spent with us. And more importantly, I hope that we make you think. For more information about what we do, our work, and our message, please visit us at our website at officiallytracymartin.com, and that Tracy is T-R-A-C-E-Y, or you can find us on Instagram at officiallytracymartin. We look forward to having you with us for more episodes of the TLM Method podcast.